from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
No, I was gonna head out of the 49ers because we just got an email from the Kings. So
do it.
I don't know if James has seen this yet, so I'll read it to him. Kevin Herter injury update. We were talking about this early in the week. Kings forward Kevin Herter continues to progress through the return to play process. He has been cleared for on-court workouts, shooting drills, and complete strength training. He will be reevaluated in mid-October prior to being cleared for full contact court activity. Mid-October, which should be comfortably after training camp starts, no?
Yeah,
because the first game, yeah.
Yeah, that's around. What's the first game?
Like October 20th? 20th.
Oh, well, I'm thinking preseason.
Oh, no, I was thinking a regular season. Yeah.
24th, I think.
James, you just said, wow. We were a little surprised. His podcast appearance said something about September, early September. Mm-hmm. It looks like he'll at least in terms of full court activity, it looks like it will remain on the shelf after training camp has started.
Yeah, this isn't great. You know, again, when we started seeing the Devin Carter injury timeline of 6 to 8 months, it was like, okay, if his is 6 to 8 months, what is Kevin Herter's? And, you know, I think Kevin had surgery like before the season ended, right? Mm-hmm. So we're talking about April. So May, June, July, August, September, October. October, mid-October is about right for if it was a 6 month recovery. But yeah, it's kind of jarring there to see it that he probably won't be ready until either the start of camp. Well, actually, until the end of preseason or the first week of the season, and that's being reevaluated. So.
It doesn't feel like you're going to be ready for the start of the season.
It doesn't.
Like if he's not going to be cleared for full court activity until mid-October at the earliest.
Yeah.
Once he's cleared, he still has to, quote, get in shape.
Ramp up, yeah. But he can work out. He can't play. He basically can't play 5-on-5. It sounds like he can do everything else.
And he has.
He just can't play 5-on-5. Yeah, and he looked great in that video. Mm-hmm. It's not like Kevin Herter is going to balloon up, but running workout drills and playing basketball is a little bit different. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna fall back just a smidge. I don't think it'll be too big of a deal if he's cleared hypothetically. Let's say because we'll take the term very literally and say October 15th, Kevin Herter is cleared. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's out of the question that I think he absolutely plays in the first game of the season, okay, if that's the case.
Okay.
Where? I don't know. That, to me, is the more concerning thing, Hammer, because if you're starting camp and you're at least running a couple of weeks with a, quote, starting lineup, do you switch that up 6 days before the first game of the season?
Yeah, I think it's going to get really interesting because look, the players were in San Diego this week together, like hanging out and playing a little basketball. So they're already in the process of putting the team together without it being a team sponsored situation. And then, you know, most of these guys, there's been a lot of players in Sacramento together. You know, again, last week we had Domantas Sabonis and DeMar DeRozan working out together with what Boogie Ellis. And that's where we saw video Herder. But here in Sacramento, you've had a lot of players working together, Keon Ellis and De'Aaron Fox, and just a ton of the young guys are all here in Sacramento already. So if he's not getting any of that, if he's not allowed to be part of any of the 5-on-5 drills or even 3-on-3 drills, that's going to put him behind the eight ball. And I think you will have a group of players who have spent a lot of time together by that point. And, you know, I don't know how Kevin fits into that. I mean, I think he's part of the rotation if he's healthy enough when season starts, but if he hasn't been part of all of these groups, and, you know, again, second week of September, almost everyone will be back in Sacramento playing 5-on-5 or 3-on-3 like the entire time. Like this, that's typically what happens. And it would just be a bit jarring if Herder hasn't been cleared. I also, when he originally went in for surgery and got injured, we had Dr. P on, and he talked about the recovery and how they view these differently now than they used to. It used to be like put a guy in a sling and have him sit there and immobilize his shoulder for as long as possible. And the new studies and the new work they've been doing with shoulder injuries, you get back on the court quickly. You get back to what you're doing very quickly and start building strength and building sort of flexibility and mobility in that shoulder joint. And so I would be surprised if this is just not like an overly cautious, this is kind of, you know, what you have to do as far as medical. But it's still like, I think it's not a good thing for Kevin Herder.
Yeah.
I have the first game wrong. I think it's the 24th.
Yeah.
That's the first game. So you have, again, if we're taking the press release at a very, very literal sense, you have a week and some change from, it still doesn't seem like enough. If Mike has been playing with a certain, again, starting lineup in practice, it seems a little, iffy that Mike would make that switch.
Right. James, do you think, and I don't feel like we ever really considered it, but do you think this played into whether or not a trade went down or not during this whole time? We were always just like, oh, after you got DeRozan, get one more player, you know, add Herder and da-da-da-da. I mean, do you think – I know we've seen people that are hurt traded, but do you think it was even realistic at the time with him being so far away from being cleared to play that, you know, he could be part of a trade package?
I think, you know, just by judging by the injury and when the injury happened and how much time he had to heal, that most teams were confident that he would be fine, and especially confident that he'd be fine by the start of the season. And even if you're planning on missing like a week or two or you know, even a month of the regular season, that really doesn't, I mean, you're you know, taking on a guy who's, what, 26 years old and under contract for, you know, the next 2 years. It wouldn't be a short-term, you know, trade that you're working on with to acquire Kevin Herder. So I don't think that would have played that big of a role unless you're literally swapping pieces with a team that is in sort of the same situation you are. They just need a different look and you need a different look. And those aren't really the trades that were out there that we've been hearing with regards to the Kings and with Kevin Herder specifically.
I guess to dumb this all down, is this a big deal?
No, I don't think so. I would put it the same thing I just said about other teams. I'd say about the Kings. I think it's a big deal for Kevin and sort of what he looks like as part of the rotation. I think it might be a big deal for like who starts at the shooting guard position.
Yeah.
But I don't think long-term, like by November, December, like Kevin Herder will be who he was going to be on this team. You know, like he should have time to get back in rhythm and find out, you know, what it is that where he fits and all that. Even talking to Domas on Sunday when we went to his camp, I mean, it was clear that Kevin's shooting the ball great and he looks great. So it's not like Kevin Huerter is just sitting there with, you know, his arm hanging loose and, you know, we don't know if it's going to fall off or not. And, you know, you're hoping that, that he somehow can recover and get back out there and play. That's not where we're at. I mean, he's much further along with his rehab than just like, you know, he's months into his rehab, months.
And, you know, I don't know if this matters or not, but I took a, it stayed as a memory for me in that podcast he was doing, and he talked about it. He seemed upbeat. He seemed like he was in a positive space because of the news that he had, like, you know, I'm about to get cleared or whatever. It wasn't as if it was like discouraging or anything like that. It was more of things are going the way they're supposed to. So he didn't seem discouraged at all.
No, and I don't think he is. Like, I think everyone understands like when he got hurt and how long the recovery time is. You know, this isn't an ACL where, you know, you're looking at, you know, he can be back to full strength at a year, but back on the court at 9 months or 10 months, something like that. This is something where you kind of know like the length of injury and what the recovery is. But I'd also caution everybody that, you know, like he'll be re-examined in mid-October. That doesn't mean he'll be cleared in mid-October, just like it doesn't mean that Devin Carter will be, you know, reevaluated in January sometime. That doesn't mean that he'll be ready. And if we listen to the sort of the length of recovery here, I was pretty sure it was 4 to 6 months for Kevin. So that would put him on the back end of the 6 months. But, you know, it probably puts him still right in line with, you know, being ready for the start of the season, the first 2 weeks of the season, something like that.
Could be a silly question. Who benefits the most from this in training camp, you think? Because he's going to, at least in the 5-on-5 drills, he's going to miss some time, at least according to this press release, a little bit of it. Who benefits the most from that?
Yeah, I think it's the same person who's benefiting from it right now, and that's Keon Ellis. Keon is, you know, again, he's here in Sacramento with De'Aaron. He's working out all the time with De'Aaron from what we've seen. And that's a big deal. You know, he's a kid that has progressively gotten better and better, and he needs court time and he needs to play. And for me, that's the guy that you just point to. And I would remind people that like Keon Ellis only played in what, 45 games last year, something like that. Maybe I'm off by a little bit, but like he didn't even get a regular contract until midseason.
Right.
This is a guy that, you know, wasn't really in the plans until he showed up at training camp last year. And I've talked to Mike Brown about this specifically. He played 57 games, my bad. But he showed up to training camp and like forced his way into the conversation. Like Mike Brown thought that Keon Ellis was going to spend the season for the most part in the G League. And then he didn't go to the G League at all. And that was like major hat tip to Keon and the work that he'd put in and the training staff and the coaching staff that worked with him to get him ready. But also like that shows you kind of where he was and to where he is today. It's been a long journey. And so I think this is an opportunity, and it really does depend on what do you do with that opportunity. If you're a great defensive player who knocks down 40% from three, you got a really good chance to stay in the starting lineup or stay in the conversation of the rotation for a while.
Yeah. I think this opens the door for, we talk about Keon, but I think this opens the door for the Malik situation. That might have been part of the conversation in the negotiations.
Yeah, you were hung up on this fictitious conversation. Maybe fictitious conversation.
Maybe, I don't know. Maybe
could be real. We don't.
But it sounds like everybody involved has been familiar with this timeline. It's like Kevin, he might be ready by opening night. Probably won't be. And if it's like up to the deadline of that, we're probably not gonna start him. And Malik, that'll be your opportunity. We'll give you that look. We'll see how it looks at that point. And if you can keep it going at that point, there'll be no need to move on. But I'm caught up on this fictitious conversation and it potentially, and I'm caught up on the actual Monty McNair's wording during that game.
No, that
game.
Was cute.
And I'm just like, I don't know. I kind of see the same things Dame thought he saw in that situation.
Well, I definitely, like, talking to Malik when he got his contract, he said it was not part of the negotiations and he was not promised the starting job. And I kind of took him at face value. Like, he's going to do, he would like to start, but he's going to do what's ever best for the team. And again, if you take Kevin Huerter out of the picture, that actually hurts Malik's case in my book.
That's a good call.
Yeah,
it weakens that second unit a lot.
Yeah, there's a big difference between a Keon Ellis, Kevin Huerter backcourt and coming off the bench and, you know,
you're 100% right, but let's be fair to the conversation a little bit, because we're not removing Kevin Huerter from the team. We're just wondering if his chances of being the starting two have been a little, you know, it felt like his chances were a little rocky to begin with because of Malik, because of Keon, you know, the emergence of Keon Ellis and the struggles that Huerter had last year. It felt like that opportunity was still a bit like rocky, and now he's facing, you know, not being 100% medically cleared, at least for 5-on-5 drills when training camp starts, which is, you know, probably going to put him at another little deficiency. But he'll be available. Mm-hmm. Whether it's coming, you know, if whether Mike decides coming, he's still going to be available. So the Malik Monk conversation can be had. I wonder more than if he was promised anything is if Malik or his team asked, specifically Malik, can I do anything to start? Like, is this what you see me as in Sacramento because I excel at this? Is there anything I could do to be a starter on this team? Because that's a difficult question to answer. Mm-hmm. Because what are you going to tell them to do better? Right. Like, normally it's like, hey, how do I work my way up to a starter? Well, you got to do this. You got to do this. You can't say that to Malik. Right. It's an entirely different scenario.
No, you can't tell him he has to play defense.
No, you...
That he has to... Yeah. He has to focus on the defensive end. He needs to be locked in and not just like be really good for 2 minutes and then we don't see you for a couple.
But do you think no? And that's perfectly fair. It's not I apologize because I kind of did insinuate. No, you're perfect, Malik. No, I didn't mean that. But I don't think Malik's not starting because of what happens on the defensive end. James, maybe you're better to speak on that than I am. I never got that impression, though. I never felt like, well, you know, goddamn Malik, if he just stopped the ball or something. I never felt like he wasn't starting because he wasn't strong on the defensive end.
No, I mean, I think at the end of the day, the reason he's not starting is because his game is very similar to De'Aaron Fox's game, and you need to break those two up to, you know, you need distributors, you need guys who can score in a variety of ways with the starting unit and with the second unit. And at the end of the day too, I mean, part of it is that a defensive backcourt of Malik Monk and De'Aaron Fox probably isn't going to be good enough to hold up for 82 games. And so part of it is the defensive thing. But also I think that, you know, like when we've talked about this, like if you're going to roll out a starting lineup with Malik Monk and De'Aaron Fox, that means that you're going to ask De'Aaron Fox to take on the toughest perimeter offensive player. If you start a backcourt with Keon Ellis and De'Aaron Fox, that means that Keon Ellis is going to take the most difficult person to defend, and De'Aaron Fox is going to take the second or third most difficult to defend. Just because it changes the dynamic of things, and now Keegan Murray can get in the action as to who he's going to defend as well. So I just think that, like, it's not straight up that, look, Malik, you're just not good enough defensively. It's a combination of things. It's number one, like, there's not enough shots to go around in that starting lineup with, you know, I mean, they're guys will get shots, but they're not going to get the same volume. But Malik Monk is going to get more volume of shots coming off the bench than he is with the starters. That's just the way that the dynamics of the game. And so there's all of these little pieces that lead you to one thing, and that's that having Malik be your primary guy off the bench is probably the best way to win basketball games. Hmm. Not what's best for Malik or not what's best for Keon or what's best for De'Aaron. It's what's best for the team as a whole and how you win basketball games.
Yeah, and that's fair enough. You know, I don't have any problem with whatever they do with Malik. You know, if it's, hey, come off the bench, finish games, things of that nature. That's cool. The one thing I would say a little bit when you talk about it hurts Malik's case because the bench is a little weaker because Herter's working his way back. I don't know if they look at the bench the same way as far as needing this ultimate firepower because of DeRozan there now. And what I mean by that is because DeRozan's there, at all times, you're going to have two of the three, in my opinion, two of the three between DeRozan, Malik, and De'Aaron on the floor at all times. So I don't know if you need this super bench if those two are always going to – two of those guys are always going to be on the court. And that's when I – that's before I talk about Keegan and him being on the floor at the same time as well. So I don't know. Maybe I could be wrong, but I don't know if you look at needing this crazy bench production the same way you did last year because you added somebody like DeMar DeRozan.
Yeah, my rebuttal would be this. It's when you have a guy, when you add a player like DeMar DeRozan who replaces a guy like Harrison Barnes, and you go from a guy who averages 8.9 shot attempts to 17 per game and an additional, you know, 7.7 free throw attempts per game. When you take that leap to that style of player, realistically, you need the player that should be with that group is a guy who probably needs 6 shots a game, not even the 8 shots a game, who needs like 6 shots a game, but he's willing to pull the trigger when he's got a wide open three. He's willing to get out on a break or, you know, off a steal, he can go score some points. Mm-hmm. But really his primary job is to cover for DeRozan, to cover for Fox and allow them a little bit more leeway as offensive players. Just because I can't imagine starting a group of players and you just start adding up the field goal attempts per game. And, you know, you start with Fox at 20 and then you get to 17 and, you know, next thing you know, I don't want to see fewer shots for Sabonis. He only takes like 12, 13 shots a game.
Right.
I don't want to see fewer shots for Keegan Murray. You know, we got to push the guy to take, you know, 12, 13 shots per game. That fifth starter for me is going to be a player who doesn't need shots. And, you know, maybe that player's not on the team right now. Mm-hmm. Maybe you are able to go out and get a long, athletic 3-and-D, a Dorian Finney-Smith type that can play the 3-4. And then you move DeMar to the 2. And again, you get what I'm saying? Yeah. At that point, again, you're going to a guy who's shooting 6 to 7 shots per game, not a guy who in Monk is looking for 12 to 13 shots per game. That's just tough. You know, again, we always talk about there's only one ball.
That's what I was just about to say. Your general concern sounds like.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
There's one basketball.
Well, there's one basketball, yeah. And, you know, again, I think you need to sort of separate your scorers and your playmakers and have, you know, two of them on the court at all times. I totally agree with that. Mm-hmm. You need to separate and have some of your shooters with the starting unit, with the second unit. You can't just have all your starters I mean, all of your shooters with that first unit, and then leave the guys off the bench high and dry. And I would say the same thing about defensive players. You can't just put all your defensive players in the starting lineup and hope that, you know, your bench doesn't just get destroyed every night. So it's about balance and everything else. But I definitely think that, like, it's a struggle. It's going to be a challenge for Mike Brown to say, how do I balance all of this out? How do I make sure that Keegan Murray just doesn't get lost, that he doesn't just fade away? And now I'm, you know, going into year four and the guy just averaged 13 points a game, and I don't know what kind of player he is outside of a really good defender. And now you're stuck in this quandary. That's not what you want to do. You still want to do some of the principles that you had last year, where you were promoting the development of Keegan Murray while trying to win games. And you don't abandon that because you have DeMar DeRozan, because Keegan's still the future of this team. So it's all about balancing everything. And again, this is why keeping a really, really, really good coach who has experience in these situations, that's why keeping him and building continuity with what he is and who he is with your team, I think, is one of the most important things that happened this offseason.
Let's step out. We'll come back. We'll talk more with our insider from the insiders, our man James Hamm, as we got a little bit of an update on Kevin Huerter. If you're just tuning in, we'll fill you in when we get back. But much more Kings talk ahead here with D'Lo and KC on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. Thought because James was here, we wasn't gonna come back to music.
Come on, man.
James, it's Flashback Friday. They gonna want to see you dance, man. Come on, this is the last one of the day. This is the last one we got. It's all vibes with our man Bobby Brown. It's what we do. Flashback Friday kicks off on 102.5 at the top of the hour. Let's go. Hold up, James. Verse 2, baby. Let's go. Kenny ruined it for everybody.
Yeah. It was Bobby.
That was Bobby, all right. What do you think, James? Huh? Flashback Friday, baby.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, I mean, there was a time when Malik Monk had that hairstyle.
I wonder.
I didn't understand the wardrobe change right in the middle. Like, whoa, wardrobe change.
That's what they did back in the day.
Plus, I was distracted mid Bobby Brown. The Grizzlies announced that G.G. Jackson broke his foot.
Yeah, that caught my attention too. Yeah, I was that's like, tough. Wait, what does that say?
That's tough.
Yeah, that's
good ball player.
Yeah.
I like him. I
wonder. I'm gonna pick a song to get James fired up. Let me see what I could do here, real quick.
I just
want to talk basketball, dude. Like, that's why I'm here. I'm not here for the stupidity.
I didn't know this was a planned thing, or I would, like, I can't dance like you guys can. I'm locked in a quarter here.
No, that's cool. Let's see. Dude, was something like this get James fired up here? Is this? I mean, you got a the Eagle. No.
What? Oh, can we play my song? Are we going now? Can we play my
Def
song?
Leppard, right?
That's funny.
Oh, yeah, Def Leppard.
James will know this one.
Yeah, hold on.
James will know that because, you know, if we're going to rock out, then we're going
to
rock out.
I love that we're referring to this as your song. I'm with that.
Everybody knows this is my song.
No, Casey got a bop. You know, Casey out here.
Let's go. Yeah.
Casey out here living the grunge life. Hammer. Oh. Hold up. Yep. For WCW fans, self high five.
Here we go.
Y'all should see this dude in the studio right now. This is ridiculous.
I'm a little more Soundgarden slash.
Okay.
Gotta let me break it down. Gotta let me do it like a,
all right.
When it gets crazy. Because I'm gonna grunge.
All right. Oh, that just. Hey!
Let's ram it! He just did the let's ram it! That's fun! He did the let's ram it!
Come on, man! I'm just rocking out! We're rolling out!
Sir, sit down.
I didn't even get a chance to rock out, man. Get a chance. It is on it. It is in it. It is on it. It is in it.
Look, I was gonna clip that. I'm not going to anymore because you're my boy. That was crazy.
No, I don't.
You should
think...
add Kenny to the Let's Ram It video. Whoa, see what happens.
Don't roll James until you see what you just did looks like.
I legit
you did.
Hey, I'm gonna
you guys
say this.
Are wild. You
Let
guys
me be
are
clear.
Wild. I'm out here grunging.
No, I legit yelled out no.
No.
Don't they like smash their head on like the wall or something like that? Break the wall, break the chair or something like that.
I don't know, Kenny. I think it looked very similar to Eric Dickerson dancing.
Well, no. Hey, man, what was the 86 Rams, 85 Rams? Those some wild boys.
You do this.
I can't be in the same boat as them, man.
You do this to yourself.
You did. You totally did that to yourself.
Like I said, I can't cut that clip.
No,
I can't.
You can't. No. Don't cut that. Someone else will.
Because I do a show with a bunch of children. That's why. Bunch of children.
At this point, buddy, it is what it is, all right?
Do a show and a bunch of children watch the show.
Well, Bruce is out there. Shout out Bruce and Dean.
So Kevin Herter.
Yeah, so Kevin Herter. Oh, man. So, so Kevin Herter will return mid-October, what we just learned. I do want to be clear because we just had a pretty extensive conversation about Kevin Herter and all of this. He's cleared for on-court workouts. He's cleared for shooting drills in a complete strength training program. As Casey pointed out, we saw him working out with Doug Christie and Domantas Sabonis. What he'll be reevaluated for in mid-October, according to the Sacramento Kings, is full contact court activity. Basically, we're talking 5-on-5 drills, and obviously with that comes gameplay. Right. Mid-October, again, taking that press release in a very, very literal sense, is about 12 days before the first game of the season against Minnesota at home. Now, will he be ready to play the first game? I 100% believe, unless something happens.
It feels like he would, right? Like,
yeah.
All, everything that he's been doing.
Absolutely.
Feels like he'd be able to.
But the question is where, because training camp is underway, and that's what we were not trying to get to the bottom to, but trying to figure out who this opens the door for. Does it open the door for anybody? Like, would Mike be willing to say, hey, Keon's been doing pretty well, but Kevin's back. Let's see what Kevin looks like with this group. Like, is he Does Mike go in with a? I think when you go in with an idea, James, and I think you could speak to this much better than I can because you should probably stop reading the chat after I can after the last like couple said, of minutes.
A
you,
bunch you, of children.
Get your eyes out of the chat. Look,
they went outside during that grunge era, man. They don't know.
That's what they was doing. Then I was inside.
Of course they were.
No, I was inside then. I wasn't outside. I wasn't outside for whatever that was.
Jackie Slater would be proud.
Jackie Slater, no, they doing something different.
If Mike walks into training camp with like an idea, it's like, this is the direction I think I'm going to go. Is it tougher to change his mind than if he walks in and goes, it is a complete blank slate?
I don't think as a coach you ever walk in with a complete blank slate.
Me either. I 100% agree with you.
You don't, because you have right. when you're walking into that room, you have all of the ideas that you had, all of the data that you had, everything that you saw, the film that you had from a year before. And so, you know, again, maybe the sample size of 57 games and 17 starts isn't enough for you to fully know exactly who Keon Ellis is, but you know, you had more like 145 games of Kevin Huerter over 2 years. You know exactly who these players are. And then you do have to come in with a little bit of an open mind when it comes to how they fit with DeMar DeRozan. Like, you can think that players are going to fit with DeMar some certain way, but he's such a specific like style of player that you won't really know until you see them moving around together on the court. And so I think it's going to be interesting for Mike to, like, you know, mess with the ingredients here and try different combinations of players. But at the end of the day, like, he has to walk in with an idea today of what it's going to look like and then be able to have a little bit in his mind of how he can adjust on the fly.
Well, if they were,
I gotta get out of the chat.
stop looking at the chat.
They said the chair.
A bunch of children.
They said the chair was pregnant.
Oh my god.
Yeah. You might want to check on that chair when you're done. I'm expecting you
to be little chair babies running around the office.
I'm expecting you to Clorox bleach wipe that chair when you're done, Kenny, because I have to sit in that thing on Monday, on Tuesday.
Hey, it's man. Come on. Hey, like I said, we rocking out, man. Come on, man.
I guess so.
Oh, man.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm sorry. That's my fault. Happening. When Kyle said Kenny's chair might be pregnant, I lost it. I just absolutely lost it. I'm sorry.
No.
Go who ahead. Was that? Nirvana? That was me. That was Nirvana, man. That's what we do.
That's okay. Bro, Dame says he's got a picture of Chris Benoit. It's not even the craziest part of today.
This thing is just going sideways.
We knew as soon as Brandon Ayuk signed that deal yesterday that this show had just gone to hell.
Yeah, I mean, I knew the same thing. Like, we stumbled upon the greatness. It was the 86 Rams. But I think our show was going to be this way no matter what. It was going to be very, very similar to what you guys are. What's transpiring right now.
It's not going to be the last slow day in sports history. But
no.
If we get back Tuesday.
As no,
it's go time. Like Jesse said, we got 4-4 out. We got picks to make. Yep. It's not like we're not going to have fun.
Right.
But yeah, no, there's business to attend to.
Summer's over.
Yeah, that's a shoot.
It's time.
We have to celebrate the 1 year anniversary of the Insiders.
There you go. What day is that?
I think it's Wednesday.
Very nice. Yeah. That's very exciting.
Here too, man. Y'all been killing it.
See,
y'all been doing your thing.
There it is.
That's my day for the handoff too. So I get to come in, poke.
There it is.
Get into the studio, you know.
Kyle's gonna come in. You know, have some wonder balloons. Why I stole the chair with arms. Damien will know why I stole the chair with arms.
And I can't even can't even argue, bro. God. It's on Twitter. I need you to see it. I don't think you know what happened. You need to see what it
was. That the headbanger.
Hey,
come on.
That's what.
Come on. Hey.
That, you realize you do this to yourself.
Crazy.
Come on, man.
Come on, man. I'm just out here trying to rock out, man. Stop playing with me, man.
It was cool, and it was like, wait, no.
Hey, no, man, props, just, bro. No, out, props.
No props.
No props. Come on, man. It was my, with Team Spirit, Teen Spirit. You know what I mean? We rocking out.
Smells
Nirvana,
like
man.
Teen Spirit.
Oh, yeah.
Shout out Diamond Dallas Page.
That album's incredible. What's that album called? Nevermind? James, that album's called Nevermind, right? That iconic album with the baby in the water?
I think so.
Nevermind. Yeah, that album's incredible.
That's, and you know, the dude who's the baby sued, right?
I do because recently, right? Within like the last handful of years?
Yeah, because he's been child exploitation. He's been the naked baby on one of the most famous albums of all time.
Yeah, he should get some money from that, you would think.
I wonder if the big baby ever got money.
I thought I saw a story where there was something going on with the baby, and whether they were trying to get money or they sued or whatever. I thought I did see something like that. I don't know, though. Could be making it up.
Oh. Okay.
All right.
Close
good
the
Friday,
chat.
Good Friday, baby. It was a good Friday.
That was a great Friday. That was a great Friday. Yeah, Casey, a wild one, man. That's for sure.
You know, hey, man. Like I said, it's Friday. Vibes is up. We just out here rocking out. And you guys.
3-day weekend.
You guys. Your mind's just somewhere else. Like I said.
You saw the video, right? Like, you can see it.
My mind's not where your guys' minds are.
Yeah, clearly, because we don't know where your mind is at when you decided to do that.
I don't see it. I haven't seen the video.
Well,
like,
just go to my Twitter feed. It's right there for you.
Shout out, Roddy. So it smells like Cherish Spirit.
Oh, snap. Come on, man.
How are we supposed to do a show for the next 7
No, we can't. It's over. Like, it's done. The show's done. Kenny killed the entire show. I'm just waiting for James to see the video.
I mean, I saw it in live time, and I knew right away what was happening.
Oh, it looks worse on replay.
Oh, no.
Y'all crazy,
okay,
man.
Hang on. I'm looking for it.
Smell like Chair Spirit is pretty wild.
Oh, no. Here we go.
Yeah, Kevin Herter's not getting mentioned for the rest of the
day. Oh, Kenny.
Hey, man.
What have you done?
Hey, man. Hey, like I said, we're vibing.
Yeah, well.
But you guys' minds is in the gutter. You guys' minds in the gutter. That's where the problem lies.
We just vibe differently. That's all it is.
I'm sending this to Kyle right now, just so you know, because I don't know. Kyle may not have seen this.
Kyle, I'm sending this to Jasmine right now.
Wow.
This is the Michael Scott and Jan pick episode where they're just sending it to each other or whatever.
Were they what?
Where they're sending the picture when they get back from Jamaica.
Oh, yeah. The topless picture. That's in season.
Am I almost there?
No.
4? 3?
Yeah, I was going to say 3. I think it's 3.
Well, no, because. Is it 3? Because James is gone, or Jim is gone that year. Maybe it's.
Jim is gone when the picture goes out?
No, Jim is gone season 3, so that's why I thought he was there. I thought he was around for the picture.
Oh, maybe it was season 2?
Might have been.
Yeah, it was after the Christmas party.
Because
Andy Bernard is on that episode.
Well, that's what I thought too.
Will you shut up? Wait, isn't that the episode where he wants to take the waitress from Benihana's to Jamaica, and then he gets back and the episode ends and he's on the phone saying it's all inclusive.
Okay,
and then
we find out it's got to be season 4 or season 5 then.
Yeah, because Andy was with them at.
Benihana's.
That's right.
Yep.
But that's so right. was Jim. So
and then
it's
he had
when
to
they came
mark
back.
The girl. He had to mark the girl
because he couldn't tell them apart. You're never getting to this episode. That's the overarching point is you're never getting to this episode.
Yeah, because that's the dueling Christmas party episode where there's planning committee.
The committee to plan parties.
Yes, yes. Yeah.
It's a good call right
good
there.
Good stuff.
Man. It's a good call right there.
There's some karaoke in that one, Kenny. I don't know if we want to have you dance to that yet.
We'll get there.
Man, hey, over here, we just like I said.
You was doing when that record came out? Just rocking out like
the air guitar, and then I didn't want to break nothing.
It's good thinking.
Stuff,
yeah,
that's what we did. We didn't play that at Cal State though.
Say what you want. This is why we're number one.
we didn't have that going on at Cal State.
Could you imagine someone being like, how can I replicate this show? It's why we can't thank you guys enough for listening.
Shout out to everybody that always shows love and supports, man.
I know I was driving home today and I'm like, man, my stomach hurts from laughing. We were laughing so hard.
That was a crazy video. Did you see that, the Rams thing?
What was it called?
Name was called Ram It. I didn't make that. But the lyrics was crazy. Well, there was like
it's called Let's
about
Ram
four
it
or five and... straight guys that was like, oh,
well,
man.
We might as well end the day as it started.
Oh, man.
I had
never seen that.
What's worse, that or Ramily?
Ram It.
I don't know. When you see this, you're going to be like, I can't believe that actually happened. I can't believe you had an entire team that said, okay.
I had never heard that before.
That's it right there. That's the one.
Okay. Hey, all right. Hey, all right, hey, hey,
now, Kenny, I'm going to have to ask you to not be scared.
Here we go. Let's ram it. Our final Flashback Friday song. All their fans are there.
Bad Jack and I'm starting this off. The Rams get down so nobody scoffs. And don't you worry, cause the Rams are rapping. When game time comes, give it back to Zach. We can't sing and our dance is not pretty, but we'll do our best for the team and the city. So get on your feet and clap your hands. Let's ram it right now with the LA Rams.
Hollywood Hanson, Dodge City tough. If you throw it my way, it's gonna get rough. I like to ram it, as you can see. Nobody likes ramming any more than me.
They call me Jeter, nobody dresses sweeter. But under this cool is a quarterback mistreater. I come from the end, looking for the sack. I don't stop coming till I put him on the back.
Oh, now we're crazy.
Like, call me the demon on special team. I know how to rock from the toes to the head. When I pull the trigger, I'll knock you dead.
I'm a mountain man from West VA. They call me Herc and I came to play. I learned long ago to ram it just right. You can ram it all day and ram it all night.
Oh, there it go. Not even the craziest one, though. Not even the craziest. There's like two crazier ones.
Yo! Crazier than that second one?
There's one that just takes the cake.
How is this 5 minutes long?
5.5 minutes of this.
Oh, my God. Might be Big Daddy Hill.
Daddy Hill, take a look at my stock. I catch what they throw me and I like to block. I'm quick off the line as I can be, cause I don't want Dick running over me.
This is Baby Grayson, I don't live. I'm a tactical fool on the football field. From the Jersey Shore to Balboa Bay. If you run at me, you'll have a bad day.
This is RB and I'm Speedball Brown. Fastest man in the whole damn town. Cars and ladies are a part of my creed. But more than that, I feel the need for speed.
This is Catcher, out to make a run. With shades on, I can catch a DB in the dark. So now you're ready and I'm sure you'll agree. The ramming is fun when you're ramming with me.
Oh, all right, man. There's 3 more minutes of this.
Yes.
That's a crazy song.
Oh,
that's a crazy, crazy song.
Oh,
the lyrics was crazy.
That second one was, oh, man.
Hold on. Just so we put a disclaimer in, when he does say that he's saying that Eric Dickerson.
No, we got it, James.
Over.
No, we got it.
Hollywood handsome, Dodge City tough. If you throw it my way, it's gonna get rough. I like to ram it, as you can see. Nobody likes ramming any more than me.
They call me Jeter. Nobody dresses sweeter. But under this cool is a quarterback mistreater. I come from the end, looking for the sack. I don't stop coming till
all
I
right,
put
man.
The back.
Is that? This is absurd. Oh, this is absurd. Bruce and Dean, if you're listening, we love you. I've got nothing.
Show's over, honestly.
This show is done. Head over to Matthew's Mattress this weekend. Go to matthewsmattress.com right now. Find the location nearest you. 60 months special financing with zero interest, with no money down, on approved credit, with equal monthly payments required. The biggest mattress sale of the year is going on right now at Matthew's Mattress. For the love of God, end this show.
Vamos us.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.